Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Startup Sales. Really excited to get going today. We have Sebastian Beyer with us today. He is the founder of Binomics, and he's going to go and discuss a really good topic for, I think, everybody. And that is, you know, making decisions based off the data you have. You know, we're so swamped with decisions nowadays that it could be hard or impossible to make any decisions based off of all the data points. So he's going to talk to us about how to clarify that, how to clean that up and make the right decisions. So let's get to today's episode.
Welcome to the Startup Sales Podcast, where we dive into the world of sales and marketing. Join us as we interview founders and industry experts, uncovering their successes and failures in the market. Get valuable insights and learn from their experiences to boost your own sales strategies. And now, a word from this episode's sponsor. Are you tired of struggling to reach your sales targets? We believe in you get what you pay for. That's why you pay only for the leads you get. Introducing Startup Sales, the leading growth hacking agency that guarantees meetings with your prospects. With our proven strategies, we'll bring you between 15 to 30 qualified prospects every month. And here's the best part. It's risk-free. You only pay us upon success. Don't let your competitors get ahead. Let Startup Sales supercharge your sales pipeline today. Visit us at startupsales.io. Startup Sales, your ultimate growth hacking partner.
Sebastian, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Really excited to have you on here. This is going to be a really cool topic to discuss, and I think it's something that is very much underrated or even forgotten in the early stages of a company or overlooked. So before we start, can you tell people a little bit about your background and why you're an expert at this?
Sure. So I'm a co-founder of Binomics. Ingo and I founded the company 5 years ago here in Germany in Cologne. So what we do is basically we digitize RGM processes for large enterprises and help them make better data-driven decisions about questions like which of products should we offer, what is the right price, what are the right promotions, what is the right mix, etc. Before that, I was a consultant with Simon Kucher, which is one of the leading consultancies in that topic. Spent there quite some time, met my co-founder, so I think it's fair to say that we know the space we are now operating in very well. And perhaps even before that, I have academic background in economics and did a PhD in physics. So I think I always spent quite a bit of time with data, and would say I'm a big fan of generally data-based or leveraging data to make better decisions.
That's great. I think you're one of the few, because most people's eyes gloss over when they see all this data sets and data points. So it's good to have people like you to help those others.
Absolutely. And I would say I think for me it's almost recreational. So I still to the horror of some parts of the team, I still love Excel. So I'm having a cool data set in Excel. It's recreational. I could spend a weekend just analyzing it. But I also see the problems. And I mean one big problem is that you are swamped by data. So analysis paralysis. So you can do many analysis, but in the end, and I see this now as I'm basically leading or co-leading Binomics, in the end you have to make the decisions. So it is fun kind of making those analysis. It's a really interesting insight, but in the end you're there and say, look, now there's a concrete question I have to answer. So what's the answer and how's data used to answer that? And I saw this also in big enterprise struggling with that. And this is basically what we are doing. And I would say in general, which is now a huge topic, from just visualizing, visualizing data to really adding foresight that help you make decisions based on that.
Interesting. As you were saying that, something kind of came up into my mind, and I'm probably not very good at it, but I also like to look at data sets in Excel. But I know that numbers and data could always be manipulated to show what you want. So how do you remove that that bias that's in your head when you're looking at the data?
I would say this is twofold. I think I'm more towards, I have a stronger tendency towards the bias to want to see what I'm, I like to see when I think about binomics. There, I have to force myself, if I look at our data, for example, to analyze our business, then of course you want to see things like you want to see your hypothesis validated, and you have to be very careful to not do this. When I think about our customers' data, which are analyzed by an algorithm, so no human calibrates the model. But there, I'm very, very neutral. I'm just here. Perhaps I still have like a very scientific mindset. I'm just curious to see what is reality, and then find it out. Because like it's a good thing to be not emotionally attached. And I mean, the algorithm definitely is not emotionally attached to anything. Hopefully.
All right. So let's go through the journey as a founder of a B2B company. I want to start looking at data, be making better decisions for my sales and marketing. Where do I begin?
Having data. So it's actually not so easy. Like from a founder's perspective, it's really a tricky thing, and much more tricky than I thought. So I spent, as I said, a lot of time before in consulting, also loved always to look at data to make decisions. And I always thought, boy, why don't they just collect better data? So it's like, how can they live in with such a data situation? But now you're on the other side of the business. And then it's surprisingly, you have to discipline yourself really to have consistent data covering. I'll give you an example. So for example, we are in large cap enterprise sales. So naturally, when you start out, you have very little sales, right? So you have very few customers. So you don't need a database. You think you don't need a database to categorize those customers, to have them very neatly organized. Which organization is this? Which country is this? Which business unit is this? When has this been set up, etc. Stuff that should be in a CRM. I mean, CRMs are a mess, in my opinion, so that's a totally different topic. But just to have it in an Excel sheet, because say, hey, look, we have five customers, so I know everyone by heart. But now when you grow, now I think, oh no, when exactly was it? When happened that? And then also like follow up questions, something. What have we actually offered which led to that particular deal? Because now we are at a size where you can also use the data to really get analyze stuff and have a statistical significant amount of it. And this happens so quickly, so you have to really force yourself to right away set up a structure and really think the startup already 10 times, 100 times bigger, especially in the very early days, than you are now, because that's what you're aiming for. If you're not getting there, it's for nothing.
Yeah. When I'm working with some companies, I always tell them that one of the most important things of the CRM is for the tracking of the data. And I always, more as like the sales leader side of me, I always like to see how long is it taking from going from a new lead to an MQL to an SQL or whatever you're going to clarify that. And how many touch points in each of those is it going to be? Is this something that you're looking at as well?
We do. It's surprisingly difficult, I would say. It's surprisingly difficult. I mean, we are working with HubSpot. I don't have any stocks in it. we're not yet working with Salesforce. We came through Pipedrive in the beginning. I think a very, very natural step. But I mean, those are big companies in Pipedrive. Big company, and I'm very surprised like what basic analysis are not possible, honestly. So for example, it is not possible to have I mean, that's perhaps a step ahead, but what I would like to have is a thanking chart, right? So this flow chart, which you have like after elections. From this stage, that amount of companies went out, that amount of companies went to the next stage, and then I can filter this for industry, for size, for whatever. And those very basic analysis, so you really have to export everything in Excel if you want to do this, and run it yourself. So this is the short answer is yes, we try to really go very deep in that and figuring that out and optimizing that in tiny pieces. I don't know what's your experience, but my experience is that, or my impression is there's really no silver bullet here, but you need to do many, many, many small steps in terms of improvement. The CRM really doesn't help me. So HubSpot, if you hear that and are interested in my product recommendations, contact me.
I think you should, as a salesperson, I really don't like HubSpot, but that's a different story. But Salesforce, you're able to gather the information a lot better and then export it to a system that you could actually manipulate the data as you need to. So this is what my findings are. Interesting. Okay. So these are some of the data points. So collecting this data is important. And if you're not doing it through the CRM and you're doing it via just an Excel sheet, what are some of the key points that you recommend people, you know, at least to start with, start tracking?
I mean, what we try to do, perhaps later than we should have, but now we're doing it, is basically we mapped our ideal stages. So, and I think it's on a high level, it's very trivial, right? So if you have market, then you have like your MQLs, your SQLs, then you have your have them in the funnel. And then in our case, very important. So we are very strong land and expand business. So it's important to see the sale doesn't end when you have a first ARR contract, but then it kind of the maturity comes. And then we basically track the steps between those stages. So for example, from the market, you can do outbound, you can have inbound, you can reach out, you can have connections, recommendations, and basically what are all the steps. And then also from a lead to a customer, ideally, of course, you already sign a big contract, but sometimes you have to have test license or you have to have like POCs and map those steps, and then put behind each of those stages and each of those paths, what are the numbers which characterize it? So how many go through which step? How long does it take? So how big are they? How many touch points are there? And we try to then fill that step by step and analyze it. So this is how we try to do it. And I think a very tricky part, at least for us, since again, large cap enterprise sales means high ACVs, relatively low number of customers. You cannot purely analyze this statistically because the number before your Series C or perhaps even IPO is often not significant, especially if you drill down. So how many telco companies do you have in Asia, right? So these are not thousands, right? Therefore you have to basically combine quantitative and qualitative view on it. So you cannot purely just do the aggregates and then look on a chart, but you really have to understand which deals are behind that, what are the specific behind those deals, and based on that also challenge if your metrics are the right ones. So this I would consider the main challenge or the main topic here.
Everything you're saying, I agree with. I think, though, the problem comes is unless you've done this before and unless you've been in this situation before, that's very difficult to understand yourself what needs to be monitored. Is this important? Is this not important? So I guess this is kind of why you're in a business.
Yeah, perhaps. But it sounds too much as if, like, Tang, we came to that level. That's not the case at all. So it's really, I would always recommend just just start small. Whatever is like, how many customers do you have? How many contacts do you have? How many calls do you have? The most basic thing everyone understands. And then I think all the intermediary steps, they come as you go. So I think in no really meaningful task, it's never a clean two-step process, like map it out and execute. It's always iterative. You have a first idea, then you measure, then, oh no, I oversaw that. Then you adapt the plan, the structure, how you measure. Then you look again, and then you iterate again. I think that's everything meaningful I've seen. It's that way.
When should I start?
Right away, because we haven't been like poster child of discipline here in the beginning. Definitely not. But even if like you're just starting out and having like aiming to win Apple as a customer, right? So really aiming for the biggest companies. So you will not have a customer, and it will take quite some time, and perhaps you can already raise the round or second round if you have just one customer. You will still have conversations, right? So you should really, I'm a strong believer in this, I think Peter Drucker quote, what gets measured gets managed. So yeah. Once you have a number, you look at every week, this is just disciplining.
That's a good quote and very fitting for this conversation. Okay, so let's say we've got this data. We've got it all in front of us. We've got it in our CRM or our Excel, however we've managed it. I'm looking at this. How do I make decisions based off of this?
I think there is no blueprint there. I mean, I think the tricky one is in the middle. So the extremes is very easy. So some things that basically you don't need to talk about. So if you, for example, had 1,000 calls, 500 in France, 500 in Germany, and nothing in France moves ahead, stop calling in France. So that is simple, right? So that's a no-brainer. The tricky part is really in the middle where it's really blurry. And I mean, first of all, I think having the simple things what I just said, right? So this already helps, and I think just having two numbers or having 5 or 10 numbers on a simple bar chart is already very clarifying, I would say, where you need to focus on, because you always, in an early stage startup, you have to focus relentlessly, right? So you have to throw away many things. There are so many options always, and you have to throw them away. And the ones that are more close or more tricky, there I think you just need to double down and understand it really in detail. I mean, if you're talking about a sales pipeline, for example, it's not only what we discussed so far is basically going top down. Like you say, okay, 100, or if there's 100, 50 go to the next stage, et cetera, et cetera. But you can also go bottom up, right? So especially if you have few customers, you can look out of the customers that I have, how many, which path did they go through the sales funnel? Because it might be that you have, I don't know, top of funnel free acquisition channels, and they are like 30, 30, 30 going to the next step. But all of your actual customers came through one, and you don't see it if you do only making the analysis top down. So it's really worth understanding very well if there's anything your best customers have in common.
So in like your case, where you said you're kind of more of a land and expand type business, it's also important not to see which client, which data sources or which lead sources brought in clients, but which ones brought in clients that expanded.
Exactly. And then also across the way, because I think like the destiny is not determined on the first step. You also have other kinds of interactions, other kinds of touch points, while you are with different types of clients, and they also like really determine how well the customer relation in the end is. So for example, which use case did I present those customers? Which feature or which product functionality did I promote to this and that? So that might be a bigger difference than actually where they're coming from, for example.
And for the people that listen to me a long time, they know I like about talk about pains rather than features. So I think that would be a good one as well, as what pain did the client have monitoring that. So I like
and
what
for
you're
us,
saying.
I mean, also going from feature to pain. So already that was a learning, right? So because like we are really not coming from sales. So now I mean, obviously it's almost like embarrassing that we are really coming from. Look, we have really the coolest method there is, and just see the method and like envision how great this product is for you. So that's where you're coming from. Okay, horrible. So you need to start with the pains or at least with what it does for the customer, how the world looks like, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But also there, we are not the best to do this right away.
That's right. You're not alone, because most founders go the feature route first until they figure out that you can't go that way. I like what you were saying about the approach of like looking at the full picture, not just one level at a time, because I think that will also help you with the mistake of looking at vanity metrics. And I'll break that down into the simplest terms. You know, for marketing, so many people look at like, okay, how much website traffic did we get? Oh, our visitor count is way up this month. Like that's a vanity metric. I'd rather have a tenth of the visitors, but have it be the right audience. So I like what you're saying about looking at the whole picture helps you understand is this data point actually important or not?
Yeah. And I mean, especially if you're going through pain, and I mean, early stage startup is a lot of pain, right? So, and you're tempted to look at something which releases the pain, which might be a vanity metric. But you're the right thing, and obviously is you need to go more to the pain. So really, is this working out? But it's not easy, right?
Yeah, exactly. Great, Sebastian. This has been really helpful. Do you have any last tips for everybody listening to get started?
I think what we always try to do, and this is one thing I think we didn't do too bad, is start with the most difficult thing. So what I try to say here is from I think Astrid Teller, which was like the head of Google X, which was like moonshot projects of Google. He has this word. Like if your task is to train a monkey to recite Shakespeare on a stage, don't be tempted to build a stage first, right? So you have to start with the hard task to train the monkey, because it makes absolutely no sense that you spend 2 years of your time building the stage, doing the simple thing, and then on top something, a miracle has to happen. Try to make the miracle happen right away. If it doesn't work, stop, right? So that's the thing, and one is tempted to do it. Also we, but we also really try to really put the things first where it was totally unclear if this is doable at all, and then do the things which still might be hard, but has been done in the past. So and therefore they must be doable. So this is perhaps the most important thing I would say. So for example, I don't know, starting at SMEs. Like the other portfolio companies of your investor, and then say, from here I will win. I don't know, Google or Nestle or Coca-Cola as a customer. That won't work most likely. So yeah, go there and try to win them right away, because otherwise it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's always harder to go up market than it is to go down. So
yeah.
And I like what you said about building the stage. I mean, that's a really good analogy, because I see it all the time and I get caught up on it myself within my own business is, you know, I need to revamp my website. Like, that's so not important. Like, you could have the most basic website and still close business. So things like that, definitely good advice. Sebastian, thanks for joining us. How can people find out more about you and Binomics?
I think website is one thing. Then, of course, we are relatively active on LinkedIn. We also have a weekly podcast webinar where my co-founder talks about all topics, revenue management, also data, which is, I think, very educational. So everyone who's interested there, that's the right way. Or approach me directly. I'm very responsive if a reasonable question comes in.
Great. What is your website?
Binomics.com.
Perfect. Sebastian, thanks a bunch.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Startup Sales with Adam Springer. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Contact Adam about speaking engagements or consulting services at adam@startupsales.io.